Luke 24, beginning in verse number 44 through verse 49. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And that is God's word for us today. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that we would reverence it, that we would view it as the very words of God that have power and have authority over all men, especially over us who are in the household of faith. And I pray, God, that we would hear it, but not only hear it, but God, we would heed it, that you would open our minds and open our eyes and open our ears and our hearts to your truths, that these very things would become a part of our lives and a part of our souls, a part of our thinking, a part of our very being. Speak, Lord, for we hear. Make us hear. And I pray that those here that are without Christ would be saved for your glory. Your people would be drawn closer to you and would be enabled to glorify you in a greater degree. Help us to love you. Increase our faith in you. Help us to trust you in all things, knowing that you are faithful and good and holy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as the disciples were struggling with doubt and with hope, you remember last week we looked at the passage where Jesus appears in the midst of them and reassures them of His resurrection and affirms to them that their faith that they have placed in Him has not been misplaced. He shows them the marks of the work that He has performed on the cross on their behalf, and He eats with them to prove that the body that He has is His own body, that He would intercede for them on their behalf, keeping them in salvation that He has provided. And in the text before us this morning, we have the final instructions from Jesus to His disciples before He ascends back to the Father in heaven. And His instructions center around the Scriptures. In this passage, we see that the Scripture referred to as words, as the law of Moses, as the prophets, the Psalms, the Scriptures, as it is written, all of those are references to the Word of God in this passage. So the instructions that Jesus will give to His disciples as He parts are scriptural instructions. You know, sometimes we say, boy, if Jesus was just here to tell me, if Jesus was just here to instruct me, I just want to remind you that what Jesus said was what the Father said, and what the Father said is contained in the Word of God. So it is from the vantage point of the Scriptures that we want to look at these final instructions that Jesus gives to His disciples, and ultimately that He gives to us as we read it today. Three things. Number one, the promise of Scripture. The promise of Scripture. Jesus begins His instructions with a reminder. Can I remind you that we're all leaky vessels? We're all forgetful. Situations happen, circumstances happen that cause us to forget what Christ has already said. That has happened to the disciples. So He begins with a reminder. He says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you." So He says, I've already told you this. I've already referenced this, that all things, including His death, His burial, His resurrection, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So, what the Scriptures promise must come to pass. The word that you hold in your hands this morning is the absolute truth. There is no other absolute truth except the book that you hold in your hands this morning. The Old Testament, which some in our days would say aren't for us, are not relevant to us, the Old Testament is the promise of that which is fulfilled in the New Testament. So when Christ spoke to His disciples when He was with them, it was nothing different than what God had promised all along. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about the promise of Scripture, or the promise of the Old Testament is what they had then. I want you to notice the subject of the Old Testament. Now, notice what Jesus says here. It's important that we understand what Jesus says. He says, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Now, that is a way for Jesus to give a threefold division of the entirety of the Old Testament. So what Jesus is saying is this, that in the law, the first five books of the Bible, Moses' writings, the Pentateuch, the first five books, and then the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, and then the Psalms are the wisdom books, the Psalms and all of the wisdom books. In the entirety, that's what he's trying to say, in the entirety of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, the entirety of the Old Testament, all of the Scriptures, every part of them, every bit of them, was written about Jesus. Say amen. It's not about moralistic, self-help, try harder, do it like this one did it. All of the Old Testament is about Christ. Now, there are some who interpret the Old Testament today as if Jesus never said these words. They interpret the Old Testament as if the New Testament was never ever even written. Or that maybe Jesus was mistaken when He said this. After all, He was in a resurrected form and maybe not. No. Jesus did say that the entirety of the Old Testament was written concerning Him. Therefore, we must read the Old Testament as if it were all written concerning Him. Contrary to contemporary churches, the Scriptures are not about us. They are about Christ. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. So the subject of the Old Testament is Christ, but the specifics of the Old Testament, or the magnification of the Old Testament, are honing in on what about Christ the Scriptures were about. It was about His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It foretold of the Messiah that would be sent by the Father to come and take on flesh and suffer and die and rise on the third day. Of course, we know that that's the centrality of the gospel, right? The gospel is not just a New Testament truth. It is an All Testament truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The law condemns us, and God in the flesh comes to fulfill the law, not only in His perfectly keeping it, but also in His sacrificing Himself for our sins, so that we can find forgiveness and we can find eternal life. All of the Bible, the New Testament and the Old Testament, all of the Bible is about Christ. It's all about Christ coming and receiving the wrath of God and taking our place and dying in our stead so that we could have forgiveness and have eternal life. It has never been try harder, do better. It is always salvation is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we see here the promise of Scripture. Scripture has promised a Messiah, a Savior. Scripture has promised salvation for His people, the forgiveness of their sins, eternal life, and that has been fulfilled in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Number two, notice the perception of Scriptures. Then He, or opened He, their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. I want you to underline that passage in your Bible. The idea here is that at this point, at this place, at this time, Jesus causes them to understand the Scripture as the Scriptures were intended to be understood. Do you see that? It's not that they come to understand. It's that Jesus opened their understanding so that they could understand the Scriptures as the Scriptures were intended to be understood. Now remember, they were Jews, right? They had an incorrect understanding of the Messiah. They expected immediate, literal, physical kingdom. They expected an immediate, literal, vanquishing of foes, setting up a kingdom. They did not expect suffering, death, nor the resurrection. Matter of fact, Christ became a stumbling block because He was a curse hanging on a tree. But wait a minute. These Jews were not scripturally ignorant people, were they? They were well versed in the Scripture. And what they understood about Christ, what they understood about the Messiah, what they understood about salvation, they got from Scripture. Even though it was wrong, say amen. What they believed, even though it was wrong, was derived from the Scriptures. A faulty view, an error view of Scriptures. And what Jesus says is this: from Genesis to Revelation, they didn't have the New Testament then, but all of the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, all of that was about me. Every bit of it. It was about me suffering. It was about me dying on a cross. It was about me taking your sins. It was about me being buried in a tomb. It was about me rising the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. All of the Old Testament Scriptures were about that. And they missed it. Didn't they? They missed it. Now, notice here the inability of understanding. The contrast made here is that they were unable to understand Scripture as it was intended to be understood before Christ opened their understanding. Say amen. So, they got Jesus wrong because they could not do anything else but get Jesus wrong. Say amen. They were off because they could not be anything else but off. They had in themselves no natural ability to understand Scriptures as God intended them to be understood. And so no amount of studying, no amount of meditation, no amount of hermeneutic principles would have helped them understand Scripture. Now remember this. Who did they have as teacher? They had Jesus. For 3.5 years they had Jesus as their teacher. And I know His words were perfect. I know that His life that He lived before them was impeccable. But even with the Scriptures of the Old Testament, even with the teaching of Christ, they simply did not get it right. Because they could not get it right. They had no natural ability to understand Scripture. Do you know that the Bible is not a book that natural man can comprehend? Now, we can read it. We can study it. We can memorize it. But in our natural self, we cannot truly understand it. It is not a book that we can understand on our own. More study, more information, better sources, nor anything else can cause us to understand the Word on our own. And I think the reason why so many errors are made concerning the Scriptures, and especially the Gospel, is because natural man is trying to understand a book that is only scripturally and spiritually understood. And so what we do to understand it, we increase our sources, we increase our efforts, when the reality is only God can give us the understanding. So we see the inability of understanding, but we see the illumination of understanding. Jesus opens their understanding so that they can understand. Now listen, if God does not open our understanding, then we cannot understand the Scriptures. Say amen. Now we may understand them according to our reasoning, but we can't understand them as God has intended them to be understood. When God opens our understanding, then we will understand the Scriptures. And until God opens our understanding, we won't understand. We can teach, we can make valid points, we can offer undeniable proofs, but the Word cannot be understood until God Himself opens the understanding, opens the mind, opens the heart of the one who's receiving the truth. Now, does that not speak to us about our efforts to convince and to convert people to see the truth of Christ? Can we do it? Who has to do it? God has to do it. We can't do it. We don't have the power to do it. We may have the best presentation. We may have the best sales pitch. We may have it all lined up, yet we cannot make people understand the Scripture. And folks, we haven't been called to do it. The opening of the understanding to the things concerning Christ in the Scripture has to be done by God. There is no other way around this truth. And you'll drive yourself crazy and you'll drive yourself to exhaustion trying to get people to understand something they can't understand until God opens their understanding. The very words of Jesus Himself will not be understood until the work of God opens the understanding. And when God does that, it all begins to make sense. It is so silly for us as churches to try to trick people, to convince people or argue people into the kingdom of God when they cannot even understand. It is futile to try to do what only God can do. The question we talked about in Sundays this morning, how can we not be the Holy Spirit? Because we're not the Holy Spirit. I can present, I can tell, I can share, but I can't make anyone believe. I can't even make anyone understand. But we will stubbornly insist that our understanding is correct, even when it may be wrong. Well, that's how grandmother always believed it. That's how I've always been taught. That's what I've always heard. There's no merit in that. Has God opened our understanding to see the reality and the truth of Scripture? Number three. Not only do we see the promise of Scripture, all of Scripture, is about Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His suffering, and His resurrection. And then we see the perception of Scripture. Scripture is only understood when God opens our understanding to understand it. And then when God opened their understanding of Scripture, you know what they saw? They saw Christ in all of the Old Testament. They saw how wrong their understanding was, and they saw the reality of Christ in all of the Old Testament. And then we see the Scriptures preached, the preaching of Scripture. This is a wonderful portion here that I have marveled at this week. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now get this. Jesus says that the Scriptures are not only to be properly and spiritually understood, but they are to be preached. The Word, the Old Testament, prophesied of Jesus, of His suffering, His death, and His resurrection. The understanding of Scriptures is open to their understanding. Why? Why did God reveal Christ to man in the Old Testament? Why did God open the understanding so that these disciples could understand? Why? So that they would preach. Do you see that? Now I want you to put your mind around this. The Old Testament, the very words of God, the breath of God revealing to us Christ, specifically His death, His suffering, His resurrection, so that we might have our understanding of those Scriptures opened to us by God, so that we can what? Hoard it to ourselves? So that we may know? No. So that we may be the witnesses to tell. Understand this. What Jesus is saying is this. The reason the Word of God has been written and the reason why God has opened your understanding to the truth of it is so that you could tell it. Not sit on it. That they may preach the truth in the name of Christ to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now notice the proclamation. What is it that they are to proclaim? What is it that we are to proclaim? Very simple. Very simple. Repentance and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. The church today tells us of everything that we are supposed to tell others except repentance and forgiveness. What is the task that Jesus is giving to His disciples? What is the task that Jesus is giving to us? Go and proclaim repentance and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Isn't that what people need? To proclaim this message, we must have been witnesses to it. In other words, you can't proclaim what you haven't experienced. If you haven't experienced Christ, you can't proclaim Christ. If you haven't experienced repentance, you can't proclaim repentance. If you haven't experienced forgiveness in Christ for yourself, you can't proclaim it. You are the witnesses. You have seen Christ. You have been redeemed by Christ. You have been forgiven by Christ. You have repented of your sins. Therefore, go tell. Can't proclaim what you don't know. Say amen. Maybe that's our problem. Repentance from what? You understand repentance means a turning away. From what? From sin. Forgiveness from what? From sin. You see, if I can't mention sin in the pulpit, I can't talk about repentance or forgiveness. I can't give the message that Jesus Christ gave to give. How can we fail to speak about sin and forgiveness and repentance? How can we speak of Christ in any other context except in the context of repentance and forgiveness from our sins? What folly it is for me to stand here and give you 12 ways to be a better husband, 9 ways to be a better father, 6 ways to be a better wife, 7 ways to relieve stress. That's folly. Jesus said, proclaim repentance and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. How can we not confront sin? How can we try to make Christianity about our best life now, or a meeting of our felt needs, or a fixing of our problems? Christ has not called me to tell you that you shouldn't be ridiculed at the gym, or you shouldn't have to deal with unruly children. What is that? That's not the task Jesus gave us. The Scriptures were written. Jesus Christ came. He suffered. He died. He rose again so that we would be able to proclaim and to share and to give repentance and forgiveness of sins in the person of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I got news for you. Your biggest problem ain't your kids. Your biggest problem is not your financial woes. Your biggest problem is sin. And the answer to that is Jesus Christ. Repent and to believe in Him and have forgiveness in Christ. He died. He rose again so that we could offer the best news a sinner could ever hear. You can find forgiveness in Christ. God forgive us for proclaiming any other message than that. Notice the power. And I'm done. Know this. There is no power in the proclamation. Say amen. There is no persuasion in the message. Matter of fact, most people don't want to hear the message. They don't want to hear, repent and be forgiven of your sins in Christ Jesus. They don't want to hear that. So there's no persuasion in the message. There's no power in the proclamation. There's really no results to come from just the proclamation or the presentation in itself. When do things happen? Only when God opens their understanding. Only when God opens their hearts. Only when God regenerates their deadness. So here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, listen, the Old Testament has been written about me. I have come, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. I have opened your understanding so that you can go preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. But you got to wait. And they had to wait because they were incapable of doing the task. Now they could tell, they could preach, they could speak, but nothing's going to happen. They had no ability to cause conversion. They had no capability in and of themselves. They would not be given a task to complete in their own ability. God didn't say, you go do it and do the best you can and we're going to hope somebody gets saved along the way. No. Christ, who was sent by the Father, would send the Spirit of God to convict and to convince of need of repentance and forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. We must not fail to proclaim repentance and forgiveness in Christ. But then we must wait. We must wait for the Spirit of God to open their understanding to the truths of the Word of God. Without this work of the Spirit, there can be no true results. And we can manipulate and we can fabricate, but we cannot make genuine salvation happen. That is the work of God. Proclaim, teach, call for repentance, tell people their need of forgiveness, show them the only way to be saved is in Christ Jesus, but then let the Spirit do the work. May we not fail in our task to proclaim, but then must we wait and watch as the Spirit of God does the great work of salvation in the hearts of those that hear for His glory. If I could get saved for people I love, I would do it. If I could take a hammer and hammer it in their head, I'd do it. And probably enjoy it while I did it. If I could force it down their throat and make them understand it, I would. But I can't. All I can do is tell them the truth. All I can do is keep telling them the truth. Repentance, forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And then I must pray and wait that the Holy Spirit would do a work that only the Holy Spirit can do. It doesn't relieve me of responsibility of telling. It relieves me of the responsibility of making anything happen. That's not my work. That's God's work. And I pray that He does it for His glory and His honor. Amen? Can you remember when you were lost? Sometimes it's hard for Christians to remember when they were ever lost. How foolish Scripture was. How foolish church was. How foolish all of this God thing was. Until one day, God opened your understanding. And it all made sense. It all seemed true. Amen? You didn't do that. The preacher didn't do that. God did that. God, enable me to believe so that I could tell others. Peradventure, Paul says, peradventure, that God would open others' hearts to believe as well. Would you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that someone here this morning has been affected by the Spirit of God, that their understanding has been opened, that they now see their sinfulness, they see their need for forgiveness, they see their need for repentance in Christ Jesus, and they see Him as the one who has paid the cost and has taken the sin, has taken the wrath, has taken the punishment in their place, has become the sacrifice for them. And if they will come and trust in Him, put God-given faith in Him, they can be saved. I cannot make them understand that. I cannot make them believe that. I cannot make them walk and receive that. Only You can. And I pray that You would be pleased to do that here this morning for the glory and the honor and the majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us as believers never to neglect our duty to share and to tell the message of repentance and remission, the message of repentance and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And then help us pray and seek God in doing the work of making salvation true. I pray today here in this place, as believers pray, the Holy Spirit does a work in the heart of those that are lost that only He can do, drawing them to Himself, saving them by His power, according to the word of truth of Jesus Christ. Pray that would be true.